And thanks so much for tuning in. It's 7 a.m. here in New York City. Coming up next, what's going on with Rafael Shimonov?
There's far too many of you dying. You know we've got to find a way to bring some love and get here today. Oh, picket lines and picket signs. Don't punish me with brutality. Talk to me so you can see.
Good morning and welcome to What's Going On. It's me, your host, Rafael Shimonov, sitting in for the amazing Linda Sarsour. This week and next, all of July, it's also you, amazing you, tuning into 99.5 FM in New York and streaming at WBAI.org. You're also calling in at 212-209-2877. You can tweet your questions to me at Rafael Shimonov, R-A-F-A-E-L, S-H-I-M-U-N-O-V. But today I am not alone. I'm with my very good friend, Shoshana Brown. Shoshana Brown is a unicorn, a school social worker, an organizer, a healer, and a third generation New Yorker. You don't really bump into third generation New Yorkers these days, Shoshana. Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning. Good morning. Yes. Right. I have to put that in my bio because here I am on WBAI. Like I grew up listening to this with my grandma and my dad, my mom. So
amazing. Today we're going to both talk to later on. We're going to both talk to Winifred Hines, who just stepped off a amazing, historic environmental victory against Amazon in Newark and Elizabeth, New Jersey, where Amazon basically moved in, like it always does, behind the backs of communities of color with highly polluting facilities without any mitigation and tried to, you know, surprise the community with this poison in the air with, you know, 4,000 trucks an hour going through neighborhood roads. And they lost, and they lost partly because of Winifred, but also this amazing coalition. So we're going to get to know her in the middle of the hour. Right now, it's a beautiful 76 degrees. Good morning today. Today is that fake holiday, Prime Day. So good morning to Amazon Labor Union, Bessemer Alabama Union, Chicago Amazonians, and everyone in the warehouses right now, like working at peak. We see you, we hear you, everyone organizing against, what's his name? Beth Jesus. I don't even want to say his name right now. It's too early in the morning. But first we're going to go deep. We're going to go deep with Shoshana today with some skills to get us through these times. Shoshana has always been kind of this beacon in any group that I've been part of where we just stop and somehow Shoshana is able to take someone who's feeling like a person and make them feel like you have your ancestors at your back, that you have the whole planet under your feet and you have the whole galaxy above you. And then it's all on your side. Like it's just really powerful. But first I have a message. I have a message for all you people. And it's going to come right after this newscast, but right after the newscast, I really need you to hear this message. So stick around. Right after the newscast, I have a very special message for certain people.
Yeah. Welcome to 2022 Talks, where we're following our democracy in historic times.
And people can battle it out in these laboratories of democracy as to whether they want to protect fetal life over the interests of the pregnant person. These are the same states that are stopping people from voting.
Cal Berkeley law professor Kiara Bridges testifying before Senate lawmakers on how states with the most restrictive abortion rights are also the states passing stricter voting laws. The Senate Judiciary Committee held a hearing to examine legal concerns after a recent Supreme Court decision overturned Roe v. Wade. Senate Democrats on Tuesday introduced the Freedom to Travel for Health Care Act of 2022, legislation that would make it illegal for states to limit individual travel for abortion services. Democratic Washington Senator Patty Murray.
Let's be really clear about what that means. They want to hold women captive in their own states. They are trying to punish women and anyone who might help them for exercising their constitutional right to travel within our country.
In a letter to federal health agencies, Health and Human Services Secretary Javier Becerra warned that hospitals and physicians who refuse to provide abortion services to save the life of the mother, even in states with abortion bans, under these circumstances would face the loss of Medicare funding and financial support for other state health programs. Abortion to save a mother's life is federally protected under the Emergency Medical Treatment and Active Labor Act. The January 6th committee held its seventh public hearing on the attack on the U.S. Capitol, with a focus on the Trump administration and its alleged ties to extremist groups who stormed the Capitol. Maryland Representative Jamie Raskin.
When Donald Trump sent out his tweet, he became the first president ever to call for a crowd to descend on the Capitol city to block the constitutional transfer of power.
NASA officials, along with President Joe Biden, unveiled the first full-color images from the James Webb Telescope. Here's Vice President Kamala Harris.
And now we enter a new phase of scientific discovery. Building on the legacy of Hubble, the James Webb Space Telescope allows us to see deeper into space than ever before.
Twitter said Tuesday it's suing Elon Musk for trying to back out of his $44 billion acquisition of the social media company. Twitter is asking the court for an expedited trial in September. Surveillance footage from the May 24th mass shooting at Robb Elementary School in Uvalde, Texas, has been published by local media outlets. The video includes scenes from outside the school, hallway footage showing the moment the 18-year-old gunman entered the school, and parts of the police response. I'm Nadia Ramlagan for Pacifica Network and Public News Service. Find our 8 trust indicators to support transparency and accuracy at publicnewsservice.org.
We're back. That Shoshana, that telescope, that image is incredible. But I wonder if they turn that telescope around, maybe we could use it to look at some things here. What should we focus on?
I'm interested in focusing that telescope on what's happening in the air around New York City, you know, pollution.
Oh. Yeah, the school, the budget cuts, the pollution. We're going to touch on that. I promised everyone a special message. And this special message really goes out to all you people obsessing over, like, it just, I know there's a lot of important issues. This is also an important issue, but like, obsessing over drag queens. Let's just get that out of the... If you hear about drag queens on the news, if it makes you mad that kids like my daughter love drag queens or that the culture is being set by drag queens in so many ways that you don't even know of, I want to dare you. I want you to dare you to do something. I dare you to look in the mirror right now. Look into your own deep brown, blue, green, or hazel eyes. And play this song.
I like when boys hurt me. I like when them
tonight your audience is your mirror.
Audience is your mirror.
Your water bottle is your microphone. I know you're thinking no one can hear ya.
Thinking no one can hear ya.
But baby, just know you're not alone.
So all of my full-time haters hating on me, putting in work all week. They can take several seats, 'cause I'm loving just who I be. Slayers in their life, blinding them with your light. Know you're gonna be alright. I like when them boys wear pink, girls wear blue. I'ma do me some girl rules. Some girls like chicks, some guys like girls. And if you don't care what they think, give them haters a wink. Boys wear pink.
I like when boys wear pink. I like when them boys.
Your mop is your favorite dancer.
Mop is your favorite dancer.
Turn up the radio, play your favorite song. If you don't own no one, no answers.
Oh, no one, no answers.
You just make glitter out of the sticks and stones.
So all of my full-time hitters hating on me, putting in work all week. They can take several seats, 'cause I'm loving just who I be. And all of my full-time slayers hitting their life.
Straight out of Texas, that was Todrick Hall with Boys Wear Pink. Shoshana, how do you feel about these drag, these people talking about drag queens all the time?
First of all, I love Drag Queen Story Hour. I think it's great. And I think they got it backwards. I think the people that are talking about that, you know, all this quote, grooming and drag queens don't belong in the classroom or wherever, I think they're the ones that actually have the obsession. They're saying that we have the obsession, but they're the ones that have the obsession talking about them so much. Like, they're regular people and being them, their full selves and having fun. And I don't see what's the problem. We have fun all the time in so many different ways. This is another way that people get to express themselves. And that program is an amazing program that can go, can move our whole culture and community and city towards being accepting and understanding that drag queens are not just some people that you go see at a club and you pay money for and it's funny to look at. Like, these are regular people have, like, enjoying their lives. And it normalizes them and invites them into our community as an important part of our community. And it gets kids excited about reading books.
Yes.
What could be so bad about that?
Whole point.
Well,
yeah.
we know why they're mad about kids reading books. You know, that's the most dangerous part.
They went from excluding chapters about civil rights history and slavery to now being like, hey, let's just fight anything that involves books.
Exactly. Exactly. There's a big problem we have going on in this country around people reading and people educating themselves across the board. So many books being banned. People don't want books being read to young people. It's not a good look for us.
Not a good look. And if, speaking of looks, if you did follow my directions earlier and you looked in the mirror and you're mad and you sang along with that song and you danced with the mop, I want you to call me and tell me how you feel. 212-209-2877. Of course, you can call about anything. 212-209-2877. But now we're gonna talk with Shoshana, and we're not gonna talk about practice. We're gonna do a practice. So Shoshana, what do you have in store for us today? What are you feeling?
Yeah, you know, it's bright and early in the morning, and I always like to start my, you know, we kind of jumped in there with a bunch of different news topics already, yeah. And I like to prepare my nervous system because I don't know about you these days, but me, I am nervous. My nervous system is on overload. Having to constantly make choices about COVID and my COVID safety, having to navigate all of the things going on in the world can be a lot. So I've like really been working on developing some practices. Do you feel that way too? Like you're overwhelmed ever?
My wife says that I'm very, and it's true, I'm very delayed. I will, I'm so not grounded and in touch. Like I barely feel anything below my waist in terms of my legs, you know, like I feel like, when I hear bad news, I just like, okay, I process it logically. And then like, and I'm in the group and I take it the best. And people think like, wow, he's strong. He's strong. And I'm like, no, I just don't feel things right away. It takes a while. And then like a week later when I'm alone, like I'm a good supporter because I'm not feeling it in the beginning. And then I'm there consoling people, talking to people. Everyone's like, wow, I'm so grateful for that energy. And then by the time it hits me, I'm alone, like sulking in the corner somewhere, biting my thumb.
I feel you on that. I think that's what makes us good organizers is our ability to respond immediately and then process later. I don't know if that's like always the most healthiest thing, but I think it certainly has been something that I've leveraged to do emergency response in terms of my community organizing. So I totally understand that. And like, that doesn't mean that those things are not digesting in our body without our awareness, right? Like that, those emotions, those feelings, that the emotions, that energy in motion, right? Is still within our body and our bodies are digesting it and breaking it down in the same way we'd be doing food, right? So I like to make sure that I always start my morning really in a grounded practice. And whatever that, you know, whatever that looks like for us, everybody's grounded practice looks different. What makes me feel grounded is different from the next person. Right. I think the most important thing is to start your morning in a routine, whatever that looks like. Even
one
if it's
the,
like,
I'm sorry, one of the routines on this show is me rudely interrupting everyone speaking just so I can do the required good morning and welcome to What's Going On. It's me, your host, Rafael Shimonov. I'm sitting here with Shoshana Brown. We're sitting in for the amazing Linda Sarsour. You're tuning in at 99.5 FM New York and streaming on WBAI. All right, back to, sorry about that, but I gotta do what I gotta do. It's not a podcast. People need to be reminded where they are when they tune in.
Exactly. And that's part of the grounding. That's part of a routine, having something that's consistent that we can rely upon, right? So a great morning practice, you know, I'm going to skip over all of the things that would be like really deep and spiritual and all of that, because I have some of those too in my back pocket. But this morning, I wanted to keep us a little light and airy and fun. So a great way to start your morning is by having a gratitude practice. You wake up in the morning and you list what you are grateful for. And I like to list 10 things. So I'm going to start with you, Ralph. Let's go for it.
You do this? Like,
okay. Yes. List, on the
like,
spot.
I'm going to just write it down, but they can't hear what I write down.
Say it out loud. You got to speak it into the world. 10 things you're grateful for. It could be literally anything.
Way to put me on the spot, Shush. Oh, my God. Okay. All right. So, cool. I'm going to stop overthinking it.
The first thing that comes to your mind. And just keep saying them, and I'll count for you. Okay. Go ahead. Your daughter.
My daughter is just, like, amazing. Life is amazing, experiencing it through her eyes as much as I can. That's one. My partner, my wife, just like the most incredible person. The house, the roof over our heads, the beautiful weather, the flowers, the wildflowers we planted. The trees, we did this app, the New York City 3-on-1 app. You can just request trees, and we requested so many trees around the city where we don't see trees. And I am grateful for them every day. I pass them and I'm like, I got you planted, you know. what else? I'm grateful for health, of course. I'm grateful that there's hope there. Like when I talk to people, no matter how down and things, negative things are, there's always someone out there with a plan. You know, I'm grateful for people with plans. I'm grateful for music. I'm so grateful for music. I don't know what I would do without music. I'm grateful for community organizations like holding this down, leading us, bringing the most experience to the front and the most frontline to the front to lead us out of this mess. I'm grateful for food, delicious carbs and sugars, salty things all together. I love it all. Just bring it to me and I will eat it.
That's so good. That is such a great list. I love it. I love it. Also, I also love salty food. So we're vibing.
Well, I only learned that the sweet and salty thing later in my life. Some like an expert food eater told me like, hey, I see you just eat savory things. And then later you eat the sweet things. Try mixing it up. And then ever since I discovered that, like I can't stop.
Yeah. I mean, look, a practice of gratitude, it reminds us of even like smaller moments that we might forget about. And it brings us joy, right? Like, I bet that right now, if we were all to be able to see each other, you have this big smile on your face thinking about that moment where you learned about how to make sweet and salty together, right? It brings us into the joy and into the present moment where we can be totally aware of what's up for us, right? Mm-hmm. And that's a good way to start our morning. It's also a good way to flip the script when you're not in a great mood, when you're feeling down in the dumps or feeling a way about something that's going on, to take a moment and think of even five things, right? This morning you did 10, but even five things that you're grateful for.
I could have done five.
Well, you know, the thing is that I always try to make it hard, you know, because when you're not feeling well or when you're feeling sad about the world, it's sometimes really hard to think of five things because you're so overwhelmed by the negativity that coming into gratitude, you naturally want to resist it, you know? So finding something to be grateful for is an easy, quick way to have a morning routine that drops you into some joy. It's some gratitude. It's like a quasi-spiritual practice.
You know what you're doing right now, right?
What am I doing?
You are stonewalling my request for your list. I could see no punctuation and no pause between any of those sentences, and that's not like you. And what I'm seeing right now is you trying to prevent me from asking you to publicly state what you're grateful for.
You know, you got me. You got
five
me.
Things. Come on, let's do it.
All right, five things?
Yeah.
Easy peasy. I'm grateful for my breath and the air in the morning. I am grateful for the birds chirping outside my window. They always wake me up. I'm grateful for my mom and my relationship with my mom. She brings me so much joy. I'm also grateful for an apartment. I love my apartment, and I just moved in here just a few months ago, and it makes me so happy to live where I'm living and also just to have a home. Wow. And I am grateful for my community. I'm grateful for my friends like you and all my comrades at JFRES, Youth for Racial and Economic Justice, and at MORE, Movement of Rank and File Educators, and Black Jewish Liberation Collective, and all my comrades, my communities that keep me going and bring me hope. And I am grateful for this delicious soap that my mom bought me back from Puerto Rico, from her recent trip to Puerto Rico.
So this Wednesday, like last Wednesday, I've been playing these genius mixes, which I'm grateful for, by my friend DJ Ian Head, who you can find on SoundCloud, DJ Ian Head is this renowned like crate digger, meaning he scours these garage sales, these dusty back rooms, these shady meetups in shady alleyways. He's out here, you know, to find these rarefied vinyl records. And normally his mix of these finds, his creative production of these lost treasures are like the best music I've ever heard. But in this series, what he calls knowledge breaks, he takes it somewhere else. He mixes the wisdom of our elders, of our youth. And, you know, sometimes those of us in between all that, Alex Shoshana here, and of of these icons in the culture over the music, he mixes it over the music that he finds. And it's truly something else. So last week we played a portion of his Bell Hooks mix, which was remarkable. And then his Greg Popovich mix, the basketball coach, who's just like always on point. Speaking of icons, right now, WBAI's engineer extraordinaire, Michael G. Haskins, is about to play some DJ Ian Head. And here's his newest knowledge break with Dr. Angela Davis.
Well, Angela, we're going to rap a little while about a number of things, but I guess one of the most important things that we can start off talking about is the fact that you have been called a revolutionary, a militant. Much of the media has pictured you this way. It's talked about all over the world. What do you see as the meaning of the term revolutionary?
Well, there's no single, simple meaning of the term revolutionary. The revolutionary wants to change the nature of society in a way to promote a world where the needs and interests of the people are responded to.
In some way.
The revolutionary realizes, however, that in order to create a world where human beings can live and love and be healthy and create, you have to completely revolutionize the entire fabric of society.
DJ Ian Head.
In some ways, she's like a prize.
You're here with Rafael Shimonov and Shoshana Brown. You can call in at 212-209-2877. This is 99.5 FM, WBAI Radio in New York, and WBAI.org streaming. Shoshana. What's up with the school budget stuff? What's happening?
Listen.
You work at a school. I work at a school. Yeah. Right? Like something happened.
Yeah. I'm a school social worker. I've been a school social worker for 7 years now. And recently at the end of the year, every year, I have a conversation. Every staff member has conversation with the principal. Just checking in, how did the year go? What do we expect for next year? What do you need? You know, it's a good practice. And I asked him in that meeting, I said, you know, there's a lot of budget cuts. I hear some of my friends are getting excess and, you know, I'm concerned. I have a friend, her school lost $1 million and 16 teachers got excess, 16.
What does that mean, excess?
Oh, good question. So in the DOE, the Department of Education, what happens is that we have tenure because we're protected and unionized workers. So when a school gets their budgets cut, we don't get laid off because our jobs are protected. And so what that means is that it's like getting fired from a school, but you don't lose your actual job. You have to go get reshuffled in the system. So you get placed somewhere without much choice in the matter. But it basically means you're fired, but not fired from the city, fired from that particular school.
So they could put you out somewhere where it's like impossible to get to, and it's probably they can't fire you because of the union protection, right?
Exactly. They can't fire me because of the union protection, but they have, and usually they keep me in the same district. So they keep me in the same area, but I have no choice of what kind of school I get placed at. They just send me to whatever school. I guess there's some kind of way that they determine that. And I got accessed. It was horrible because in that conversation, my principal, on the last day of school, I was preparing. I was saying, like, what do I need to know? And I'm hearing this happening. I'm nervous. How are these budget cuts going to affect us? Mm-hmm. And he said, no, we're all good. Like, we're going to be fine. Everything's fine. And literally the next day, first day of summer vacation, my first day of my actual break, which I need so bad, exhausted from the year, I got a call from the principal saying that I was excessed. It was horrible.
We want to say something to the mayor right now, right? Like, what are we trying to say? If we're all going to call 311 and try to get connected to the mayor's office, what should we say right now?
We need to restore the budget to the Department of Education, not just for him to know what's going on, not just for him to understand the impact, but for him to do something about it. We want him to restore the budget, and we know that he can do that. He can submit a budget modification. Wow. And the longer that he waits, the more impossible these changes are to be reversed. Teachers are needing to find other places to be. And the problem with that, and I want to make sure that everybody knows, is it's not just about, oh, the teacher will just find a new job. It's no big deal. What you're doing is you're creating chaos within a school community. And we know what our young people need most right now, because we're still recovering from COVID emotionally, is they need stability and reliability. They need to be able to predict what's going to happen tomorrow.
Especially kids, right? Your kids are very high needs, high risk, you know, foster home kids, right? Like,
yeah.
So yeah, like, I work them to with take you away from them. So like their one anchor maybe in their life right now.
Exactly. You know, exactly that.
In this moment. Wow. That's just fun. So yeah, I think
there's one student that I have. One student that I have in a class on my caseload. I am one of the adults that she knows and has a deep relationship with the longest. And I've only known this young person for 2 years. She hasn't had an adult intimately involved in her life for longer than 2 years.
We have a few callers, I think. Maybe they're going to touch on this or anything else.
Said about that, what the mayor's doing. And I think one way we could pressure is through our council people. We should call them and or go to them and get them to demand this issue be dealt with at the council level. And somehow I think we should remove the mayoral control over the public school system.
Yeah, I mean, most of the council, even the progressive council, got us into this mess. Like they basically agreed to this budget when they still had time to debate it. And these are people I respect, I looked up to, I canvassed for, I called for, I call some of them friends. And I'm just like, hey, you just cut my daughter's school. Mm-hmm. And so now, yeah, I think put the pressure on them, but not like, hey, pressure the mayor. More like, hey, why did you do this? Mm-hmm. Clean it up. And there's a lot of, especially the DSA candidates, a lot of them, the state assembly people and the city council people who didn't agree, and Tiffany Caban and others who didn't agree, basically told us we could have fought it and we could still fight it. And they had like a roadmap and a pathway. So thank you for the call. We'll go to the next call.
Control away. I don't want the mayor to be in control of the schools.
Yeah, I totally agree. We have to end mayoral control. And we have to continue pushing Governor Hochul to make sure that she ends mayoral control. She just extended it for 2 years, but We need to go back to community control of schools for sure.
So hello, this is WBAI. You're on the air.
Hi, it's Russ.
Hi, Russ. How are you doing?
Hi. Hey, I'm grateful for a call-in show that takes callers, that's for sure. And I'm also grateful to Trump because he's broken it down so we can see these issues for what they are. We should take a maximalist approach, get rid of these guns, all of them, and give women complete autonomy. But I would like to ask Shoshana a specific question because you seem to be very familiar with the damage done to special ed and English language development children, the damage done by masks, and we're being prepared to return to that madness with the vaccines, every kid getting vaccines and lockdowns and masks. Shoshana, can you tell me, are you going to resist this effort? And I'll listen on the air. Thank you.
I think we need to take every precaution possible to make sure that we're being safe from COVID. This pandemic is not over. With the new variants, I'm definitely scared. And there are, our school buildings in New York City are not equipped to keep us safe. Most of our school buildings are very, very, very old. And they're not safe. We don't have the ventilation appropriate. I know myself, I went and used my own money. Even though the DOE, the Department of Education, gave me a air filter, I went and used my own money to buy an actual HEPA air filter for my own office because I do not trust the Department of Education to really do the job of keeping students and families safe in the rush of the pandemic and in the rush of all the pressure that they have and how big the system is. I didn't think that they were prioritizing things. So I'm keeping my mask on. I've always kept my mask on. I'm keeping my air filter on, and I'm keeping my windows open as much as possible.
Amazing. Totally agree. I know it's hard with all of these things, but we got to do it. Like those memories of these ambulances, those things popping up, those things that are preventable. Let's throw everything at it. Let's do everything. We have our guest coming up, Winnie Fred Victor Hines. Winnie, in particular, I can't wait to talk to Winnie because she's right off this amazing huge victory against Amazon in New Jersey, and I want you all to hear about it. But right now I'm just going to do the quick, good morning and welcome to What's Going On. It's me, your host, Rafael Shimonov. I'm sitting in with Shoshana Brown, and this week and next we'll be here covering for Linda Sarsour. You're tuned into 99.5 FM, and it is 76 degrees in New York. Winnie, are you there?
Yes, I am. Hi. Good morning.
Good morning.
Yes, how are you?
I am excellent after hearing about your incredible victory.
Well, it's great to be here. You know, it only took about 20 years because I've been a WBAI member, my husband and I, for years. And plenty of my colleagues and including a cousin have been on WBAI. So
your family is just fighting everybody.
Yeah. Well, actually, she's an educator, Haitian Language Institute. There's a plug right there for her. Winnie Lamour. She has the same name.
And then there's I think when you and I spoke earlier about this stuff, because we kind of share this a little bit of this work. I'm not in New Jersey, but I was able to like really watch and observe and help in little ways that I could. But what you all did. So just for background real quick, what Amazon does nationally is like if you Google Consumer Reports Amazon warehouses, you will see a study. And Consumer Reports, man, like kudos to you all, because I'm used to Consumer Reports where you just open it up and you see which refrigerator is not going to break down in a month. Oh, you know, and now Consumer Reports is doing like transformative stuff, you know, like, okay. It's like it did a study. And it just studied where Amazon's moving its warehouses and surprise, surprise, moves them to black and brown, low income communities, moves them in between schools, knowing that the pollution it would not be accepted in other communities where their people are more connected, are wealthier, their politicians maybe are, you know, like, it's just like the systematic targeting of Black and brown communities for pollution. And one of those communities became Newark, which is already well above the national limits for poison in the air from various things. And this, your group, Good Jobs, Clean Air.
Good Jobs, Clean Air. Yeah.
Could you tell us about it?
Well, basically, it's a coalition of different organizations, groups, unions like the Teamsters, and also Amazon employees and former Amazon employees. And we got together because we found out. So under Make the Road New Jersey and Clean Water Action, which were spearheading this coalition. And thank you for the uplifting intro, you know, where you painted it as if I were one of the leaders, but I just consider myself a supporting player. And also not to elevate an individual, but to point out that it's collaboration, because plenty of times we tend to count on just one person, an individual. And I want to emphasize, you know, that this is wonderful, that it's a collective, a group of people who got together and did something fantastic. So I'll give you a backdrop of this whole ordeal. So on August 2021, the Port Authority of New York and New Jersey, which operates out of Newark International Airport, and even though the land is owned by Newark and Elizabeth, but they're leasing it from both of them. So then they went into this lease agreement, this secret lease agreement with Amazon. And under the deal, Amazon would lease two buildings at Newark Airport. And Amazon had planned to transform the site into this $250,000 square feet air cargo facility, or a cargo hub. For those of you who aren't familiar with what a cargo hub is, it's basically, it's like the airplanes and trucks coming, and they'll, you know, the merchandise, the cargo will come off of them and then go to these fulfillment centers. And then from there, and then they'll go off, you know, to their destination. So the new site basically was going to serve as the East Coast regional hub. And it was supposed to be a 20-year lease. And it was slated to start November 1st, 2021. So goes to show you, so we had from August until November to put a stop to this. So a whole bunch of wonderful, dedicated people, we got together and then we, you know, they called on the troops basically. And we decided, you know, that we had to stop this. And, you know, there was, of course, a lot of money involved, $432 million. And so the authority would get $150 million in rent for the two buildings. And approximately, yes,
a 20 year lease. That sounds like quite a deal.
Yes, quite a deal. Tell me about it. Well, Port Authority, they are about like an $8 billion a year company, you know. So, and they were going to invest an estimated like $125 million in capital investment to redevelop those cargo facilities. And so while they are thinking about all these things, right, of course, like you pointed out, you know, usually these things are done in poor neighborhoods. So poor brown and black and white low income neighborhoods. And basically, we're known as environmental justice communities. You know, we're sacrifice zones, frontline communities, you know, whatever you want to name us, right? And so, you know, sacrifice zones basically characterized as communities in proximity to polluted facilities, so concentrated industries. Like, for instance, in the Ironbound community in Newark, there are four garbage incinerators alone, you know, so out of 114 nationally, four of them are in the Ironbound. So
there's 114 of these things that burn garbage in the whole country.
Yeah.
And then, all, and four of them are in one town.
Yes, exactly. And the sad thing is there are actually legislations and policies, you know, on the books, you know, federal air policies that regulate these emissions. You know, they regulate them one stack at a time, one chemical at a time. But who can keep track with all these chemicals, of these chemicals that they're using, right? So we are exposed to these cumulative impacts, you know, of these multiple pollutants released over an extended period of time, you know, from, you know, these facilities. And, you know, nitrogen oxides, particulate matters, you know, greenhouse gas emissions.
These are carcinogens, right?
Yes.
These cause cancer. These cause
cancer,
asthma.
You know, one out of four kids in Newark, you know, suffer from asthma. And there's a high rate of metabolic syndrome and, you know, obesity, cardiovascular issues, lung issues, COPD, you name it, and we have it. And so, you know, of course, there's a body of empirical evidence detailing the health impacts of these, you know, diesels and, you know, the movement of all these transportation emissions, which is what we were mostly concerned about. And then also, you know, with the jobs, you know, because we needed good jobs, and there are plenty of evidence of Amazon workers, you know, people that I know, and, you know, in testimonies from these also former Amazon workers, where they're not allowed bathroom breaks, where, you know, they suffer from back injuries and in terms of insurance. And then throughout all of that, you know, that they have to deal with all these other health issues, you know, lung cancer, et cetera, et cetera.
Multi-generational, multi-race, multi-faith coalition, knocking on doors, truck counting, doing research, like really like homemade research about like the impacts, all of these things, working with politicians, working with faith leaders, working with business leaders, small business groups, like everyone. And it was just like remarkable to see. It reminds me of Queens. Remember Shoshana, HQ2 tried to move in here, and Amazon really could do whatever they want. Like they could win and get and force themselves in. They could have won Newark too. But I think what they see and what they saw in Queens was, oh my God, these people are organized. They're from every part of the community. They're integrated with the politicians. They're integrated with the faith leaders, the business leaders. They're integrated with everyday people. They are everyday people. And that scares them. And they run away with their tail between their legs because they don't want that every day. They don't want that group facing them every day. So they go and they find another town.
Yeah.
So that's, I think, like what happened in New Jersey. So I feel like, to me, like this, the big lesson always is like the coalition, that power. But I also really want to know a little bit more about you, Winnie. I know you're like the true organizer and like a true transformationalist, and talking about like how we don't elevate individuals, we elevate groups and ideas, but also, you're not an every, you are an everyday person, but you're like an extraordinary everyday person, right? As Reverend Barber would say. But like you, what was there? I know there's like a lot of things that radicalize us, that move us, that motivate us. I was wondering, I'm really curious whenever I meet someone like you and people who make up your coalition, what do you have memories of like moments that really push the dial for you and like put some fire under you? And like, I'm just so curious.
Well, I would say my one that comes to mind is when I lived in DC and I worked with Bread for the World. And so at one point we went to the National Mall and, you know, we slept there. We brought our sleeping bags. And then they started to say the Pledge of Allegiance. You know, we're young at the time. This was around, I guess, the Clinton administration.
Wow. Yeah.
You know, and we're young, diverse group, you know, black, brown, white. And then as soon as they start saying the Pledge of Allegiance, now we hadn't planned on this, you know. And one of us started, you know, I pledge allegiance to the flag of the divided states of America and to the inequality for which it stands,
wow,
or hegemony for which it stands, two nations,
wow,
under God, divisible, with liberty and justice for few, basically. And so, you know, that sort of lit, you know, the fire. And so later on, I joined Marino. And for those of you who aren't familiar
with that, I mean, like, this is Bill Clinton years. Like, how do people react to you doing the pledge like that?
Well, bottles were thrown at us and people were yelling, shut up, you know, shut your mouth. You don't like this country. Leave it.
Were you shocked at the response?
Yes, we were surprised, you know, because we thought, well, doesn't everybody get this? You know, what's going on? You know, so you're young and you're idealist, but we're also realist.
You saw like a new side of people.
Exactly. Exactly.
They're willing to throw a thing that could really hurt you for basically having an opinion.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I think we're at 7:50 right now. I just want to talk a little bit about where you're tuning into again, once again, getting into the good practice of doing that. It's 99.5 in New York, WBAI. I'm Rafael Shimonov. And we're here with Winnie Fred Hines, who just coming off a huge Amazon victory for New Jersey. It's called Good Jobs Clean Air NJ. You can go on that website and you can actually sign up and become part of that coalition.
Because
it's not just winning and walking away. You guys are going to change the rules now. Like, in the future, you want Amazon not to be able to have a secret meeting with the Port Authority, right?
Yes, because they have two other companies on the sideline waiting. So we want this to become the model. You know, it's about empowerment, because it's as if they're waging, you know, this genocide against, you know, people of color and low income communities. And we want to change the paradigm. You know, we want to change the playbook. And so, you know, just trying to get some of our public representatives on board and, you know, to let them know, you know, that if they take the side of Amazon against our best interest or the community's best interest and the planet's best interest, that we definitely are going to mobilize to try to vote them out. And that's what people have to do. And people have to come together and support us, even if, though you can't come and participate, but support us in different ways.
Thank you so much for coming on and sharing with us that victory. I know Shoshana and I started this call like talking about the things we appreciate and what we're grateful for. And so this is a really uplifting morning show and during these kind of little darker times. So I wanted to move on because we're running out of time, and I wanted to make sure we thank both of you. Thank you, Shoshana, for coming on. Thank you for bringing us a little peace and skills, and also reminding us to reach the mayor and the city council to really reverse this horrible budget. Thank you, Winnie, Fred.
My pleasure.
For coming on and continuing your family's legacy.
It's a long fight.
Of all of these wonderful fights.
And thank you, Ra, for having us.
Thank you for having
this show and for creating the space for all our listeners. I hope y'all dropped into a gratitude practice and maybe have some new things to be grateful for, like all the organizing that we talked about today.
We're here for each other. Really, that's the thing. Even if you don't feel like there's someone out there for you, there is. People who don't know you, if they meet you, they're here for you. I know I'm here for you. I know these two amazing people are here for you. WBI itself is this community. New York is a community. Sometimes it feels like the city's against you and maybe it doesn't even want you here. That's how it feels. But there are millions of people who would stand and do stand with you. That's why I'm going to go out with this song. It's called I Won't Let You Down by Curtis Harding from the incredible album If Words Were Flowers. Have a good morning, everyone.
Morning.
Yes.
WBAI New York at 99.5 FM and WBAI.org on the web. I like that song. Thank you, Raphael. Let's reprise that, for a few more seconds as we reach 8 o'clock. Let's hear a little bit more of that.
He won't let you down.
Over a listener-sponsored commercial free, WBAI New York. Sounds like a perfect theme for WBAI. Certainly for the WBAI listeners, because you have never let us down. Do you realize that? I'll get to your text in a moment. But you have never let us down. For 62 years, you have been in this station's corner, and that is absolutely amazing. So we thank you so very, very much. There was supposed to be, and you heard these announcements, a couple of them that I voiced for the maintenance outage that was supposed to start in just about a minute. There's been no democracy now, and well, that has been postponed until August, to I think the beginning of August. It has been postponed to the beginning of August, so we're going to have our regular programs from this point out. In fact, Democracy Now! Is coming up next, so let me get that organized and squared away. So keep it as you have been in the past. Locked right here at 99.5 FM, WBAI. And of course, while we're here, let me just remind you of our pledge line. It is always open.